orchids and flowers to garden art and woodworkings. This will also mark additional times for the market. Tuesday evenings, June 19th, July 17th, and August the 21st. The Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market will be open every Friday starting May the 25th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and is located on West Michigan Avenue between Mason and Howard. For more information about the market, including special Tuesday hours, check out DearbornFarmersArtisansMarket.com.
Looking for something to get into? There's an event every Monday night from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Detroit's longest-running hip-hop show, The Zone Radio with Origins in D.C. on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You can stream audio anywhere worldwide at www.whfr.fm. You know? Get with us. The Zone, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Mondays.
Log on and tune in.
Ever have this conversation with yourself? Local news and alternative views. I know. You don't know. I know what I need to know. You don't know enough. I read news on the internet. You don't know local. I check into Facebook a lot. You don't know facts. I watch television news. You don't know in depth. I read the local newspapers. Better, but you still don't know background analysis, the real voices of the newsmakers. Then what should I do to really know local news and alternative views? You need to listen to the new WHFR Journal, broadcast live Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m. on WHFR 89.3 FM, or get their podcast from www.whfr.fm. So, now I'll know.
This is Lynn, your host of Impact. And Impact is about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And we are here once per month on the fourth Tuesday of the month and bring you some very interesting people. We have a triple whammy going on today. We've got a lot of stuff that happened over the weekend. So we have somebody from the Milan Relay for Life, and his name is Greg Ossenmacher. He'll be talking about his experience as both part of the Relay for Life and as a cancer survivor and also a cancer patient at this point. We have Sue and Danny Featheringill here from the the Ride for Kids, part of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, and we're going to talk a little bit about the No Beast Feast from the Dearborn Animal Shelter coming up next month. And at this point, I would like to say welcome to everyone and remind the listeners that this is a show where the opinions expressed are not necessarily those of WHFR, Henry Ford Community College, or Impact. And Mike, if you'll get us potted up with Greg Ossenmacher, we will start talking about some of his experiences. All right, Greg, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
How you doing, Lynn?
I'm great. Thanks so much for being part of Impact this afternoon. We want to talk a little bit about the Relay for Life. The Milan Relay for Life was kind of exciting because I'll disclose right now that Greg is one of my assortment of brothers-in-law, and the family is quite large, and one of our nephews decided that after he lost his mother to cancer, that it would be a great thing to get everybody together and see what we can do to help the cause. And I saw in the email that we had a great walk, even though I wasn't there for the whole time. I was there for about a couple hours, And we had a goal for the Milan Walk of $45,000 and surpassed that with over $51,000. So that was fantastic, fantastic feeling. And the walk, if you're not familiar with Relay for Life, it's a 24-hour period. Someone from each team needs to be on the path the whole 24 hours. And it's just sort of passing the baton and keeping the excitement up and keeping everybody sort of connected for that 24-hour period. So as I said, I walked for a couple hours. And Greg, tell us about your participation in this walk. And let's talk about your journey, which started about 2 years ago when you had an exam at the doctor and he said, something's not quite right.
Oh, well, that's true. Today is 2 years to
ever have this conversation.
That I went to for my annual physical.
Mm-hmm.
For all of those of you who don't go for an annual physical, go for an annual physical. And the doctor said there was something wrong. There was blood in my urine. And anyway, to make a long story short, as it turned out, I had cancer. And I had a tumor, and they removed my kidney, my left ureter, and we've been fighting it ever since. Unfortunately, last December, we found that it had metastasized into the lungs, which is not a good thing, and we continue to fight. So that's kind of my story about where I'm at. I go to Carmanos, which are fantastic people. And I also go to Sloan Kettering in New York, where they're doing some incredible breakthrough technology
mm-hmm.
in this fight against cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The Relay for Life was inspiring. You just talked about how we raised over $51,000. I was curious, so I went home and I looked it up, and the city of Milan, I think it's a city, the population is just over 4,700 people. So that city of 4,700 people raised over $51,000 to fight this dreadful disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inspiring to me. It makes me want to do more to help others fight it, not just for me, but for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, well, maybe you don't, but half the people, the numbers, the data now says half the people that are living and breathing right now will get cancer in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, those numbers are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is going to be, if they haven't already been, they're affected or will be affected.
All right.
This way makes me want to, in the time I have left, do something and do more. And I will do another Relay for Life, I'll tell you that too.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And I've been just sort of on the perimeter of this Relay for Life. I've attended different ceremonies and music and what have you at the Dearborn Relay. And this one, I was really there. I mean, walking the path and looking at all the people that had these various teams that were assembled. And some of the themes of the teams were kind of amazing. We had church groups, and we had people selling food, and we had people doing a dunk tank, and we had money that was being collected if you chose your favorite bra. And some of the bras that were out there on display were pretty amazing.
They were outrageous, right?
They were. Of course, my favorite was the one with the tricolor feathers, the green, the gold, and the purple.
I couldn't get anybody to model them.
No.
I would have given them more money.
But there was Mardi Gras and, oh, my gosh, all sorts of lacy things and just all kinds of things. And pick your favorite one and then drop some money in the cup that was attached to the bra. And there was a lot of fun.
I was just going to say the same thing as you were talking, is it was a lot of fun, a mm-hmm. lot of people having a lot of fun for a good cause.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all the while, you're still thinking about all those people that were so important to you and are so important to you. I'm sorry I missed the Luminaria walk because that's always very, very moving. Just the walk with the bubbles and the walk with the pajamas and the funny hats and all these different half hours that changed, it made the 24 hours go by fairly quickly, all things considered. and like I said, a variety of groups. And I'm not sure who your favorite group was. I didn't get a chance to sample some of the food, but there were so many groups doing so many things, selling so many things, raising money on the spot for the walk, too. Tell me about your walking, and especially that first lap. Talk about the survivor lap.
The survivor lap, I couldn't help but let tears come to my eyes, and I know that, anyhow, I don't worry about it anymore. I've shed a lot of tears in the last 2 years. It was just all the people just kind of cheering for us, the survivors, as we walked around. As you can tell right now, I'm just kind of getting a little choked up, and it just...
That's okay.
I didn't expect it. I never do expect the support that I've gotten from so many other people. It's just amazing. Good people are good people, and they were great. It was tough to do that first lap just because of all the support we were getting from the people who were there to show their support for us.
Mm-hmm. And then the first lap ended with a survivor breakfast, which I understand
was
a feast.
It was pretty good, too.
And one of
I was first in line. That was good.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Yes, I was.
And one of the things that marked the survivors is that the survivors were in purple T-shirts. But you had your own take on the shirt you were going to wear. Tell us about that.
Well, as a fundraiser, you when you sign up on the team, you make a commitment to raise a certain amount of money, and I set my sights low. It was $100, but I had this idea that I was going to raise mine a dollar at a time, and I had a couple of reasons for why I wanted to do a dollar at a time. And one, I didn't want to deal, I didn't want to deal with receipts or anything like that. And I realized that when you ask, because I've done fundraisers before, a person for a dollar, a lot of times they're just going to give you a dollar, you know, and that's it. End of transaction, you got your dollar. Well, I also had this shirt, and the shirt said on it, cancer sucks. I got somehow the two ideas went together, and I decided people should get something for their dollar, and if you gave me a dollar, you got to sign my shirt. There wasn't very many spaces left on that shirt to sign by the time we had the event. And, of course, at the event, I had a lot more people ask me about the shirt, and I got a lot more dollars. I raised roughly $275 from $1 each, signing the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it was a very artistic interpretation of signatures in a lot of places.
People could put whatever they wanted, and some took a lot of liberties, yes.
Yeah. So that was great. And as you said, it was a port-friendly shirt. So you made sure in the design.
Oh, it was a port-friendly shirt for those who are cancer patients right now, or caregivers, and or medical people, you understand that I have a port for when I get my chemo, so they can just plug me in, and it's on my chest. And the shirt is a port-friendly shirt, and it buttons down in that area of the chest, so that they can just plug me in.
Right. Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell us about what you're going through, or tell us about the trips to New York to Sloan Kettering, which is a fine institution?
Well, they've kind of run out of they're running out of options for me treatment-wise here, so we started looking at other treatments. And some of your listeners may be aware of this new gene therapy that they're looking at, primarily for breast cancer right now, where they actually have looked at the DNA and have identified the triggers or the specific genes that are not working properly and are not shutting off the cancer cells. And so it attacks just those genes, this therapy, instead of attacking all the new cells, which is the way chemo has worked in the past, and that's why people lose their hair and they got all kinds of other issues. This stuff goes specifically to those genes that are the problem. And so now they're rolling it out to other types of cancers. My primary is bladder cancer, which has metastasized beyond that to the lungs. But this drug I'm receiving now, actually I'm between doses right now, it goes specifically at those genes that are the triggers to tell the cancer cells to quit growing that are growing in my lungs. It's very experimental. I'm told I'm one of only five people that are getting this drug for that purpose at this time. And I take it at home, the drug. It's a pill, but I have to go to New York every 2 weeks just for follow-up with the doctors there, because the research project itself is run out of Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're fighting, and that's all that matters. So thank you so much for being part of Impact today, and good luck with your flight and all that good stuff. And we're going to have you on next year after the other relay.
I plan to be here.
All righty.
God willing.
Okay. Thanks so much, Greg.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All
right. We're going to take a little musical break and be right back with Ride for Kids and how fantastic that was, too. Another type of cancer, another type of that awful disease. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Impact right here on WHFR Dearborn at 89.3 FM. Alrighty, and we are back. This is Lynn, your host of Impact, and we are here on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 1 until 2 p.m., bringing you individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. We're talking about the Ride for Kids Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation and lots of great stories out there. We should have Andrea on the line right now. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, terrific. Andrea is one of the Brain Tumor Foundation survivors. I didn't do that right. A Brain Tumor Foundation. A brain tumor. I think I have one.
A brain tumor survivor.
There we go. I think I may have something I'm coming down with here. Anyway, she's one of the stars. And the Ride for Kids was this past Sunday. And it's always so moving and so emotional because at the end of the ride, we get to meet the stars. And the stars are the kids who at various ages have had this experience with a brain tumor. And the reason we're talking to Andrea today is because she is one of the scholarship winners. And you're at Michigan State right now, right?
Yes, I am.
And classes start tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us how long you've been involved with the Ride for Kids.
I actually just got involved with it.
Okay.
I found about them through my scholarship and was just looking at their foundation website and saw that they do a fundraiser. So I'm like, I have to join this and help out.
Okay. Okay, and it was a beautiful day, and it was very moving. Your pilot is here, Danny Featheringill is here on air, and he had you in the on the back of the motorcycle. So, Danny, tell us about that.
Well, she was a very good co-pilot. Andrea, I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed being the lead rider of the pack of 100 and some bikes. I think we had a good time.
Yeah.
tell us about your experience.
It was a lot of fun. It was really different. It was my first time on a bike, and Danny made it a lot of fun for me, being a first time rider and just making the whole experience fun.
What did you like the best about the ride?
Probably the radio.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun listening to music.
What kind of music were you listening to?
Bob Seger, Molly.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit of blues.
And blues.
So was this a new genre for you to listen to blues?
A little bit, but I liked it.
Oh, that's a good thing. Okay. And tell us what you're going to Michigan State. What's your major field?
My major is in animal science and veterinary medicine.
Okay. All right. And what do you hope to do with that when you graduate?
I hope to be a large animal veterinarian and possibly a large animal surgeon.
Okay. All right. And are you planning on staying in the Michigan area, or were you planning on going, you know, more out west? Or maybe you haven't gotten quite that far yet, but what's your dream?
Right now, I just want to stay in the area, maybe go back to my whole hometown and open a small clinic there.
Okay. And what is your hometown?
It's a little town called Pompeii. It's about half an hour north of Lansing.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Anything you'd like to tell the listeners about the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation or the Ride for Kids? Because this was, you know, a new experience for you. Tell us anything you'd like to tell the listeners.
Where to start? The ride was amazing. The people that work it are amazing. All the motorcyclists that come out to donate and everybody else that comes out to donate to the foundation are just, they're great for donating to a good cause, and you should help out if you can. I know I'm going to volunteer next year, and it's going to be a great cause. These kids need it with poverty going on, and I can't wait to see everybody there next year.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your experience with the brain tumor. When were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed March of 2009, had the surgery early April, and continued on with 6 weeks of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And because of where the tumor was, I lost the sight of my right eye. So that's been difficult trying to adjust. It's already been 3.5 years, and I'm still adjusting to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a long, hard road, and I fought through it with the help of my friends and family and everybody that I met.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, it's definitely a long road. Tell us a little bit about, when you decided to go to school and to move on to this large animal veterinary career.
I've always loved animals, and ever since I was 4, I've loved state. I grew up being a state fan, and they're one of the best in the nation for veterinary school.
Yes, yeah.
And ever since I was 8, I talked to a local veterinarian, and he said, I need to volunteer, I need to keep up my schoolwork, I need to be best of the best in my school, make it to veterinary school, and I worked hard, and here I am.
Fantastic. Danny, Sue, anything you'd like to say to Andrea?
Well, we just appreciate her coming out and being with us, and it was nice to see her, and we're glad that she got the scholarship, so
yeah,
that was pretty exciting.
Definitely, yeah. So you're a star, one of the stars. We talked a little bit about that before we had you on air, that the survivors of the brain tumors are the stars, and they are the stars. You guys are the stars. Thank you so much for participating in that, and thank you so much for coming on Impact.
And thanks for having me.
And good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right,
okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Okay, so we'll do a little bit of background here before we're going to try to speak to Andrea's mom too, but this year had about 150 bikes, as I understand
yep.
it, right?
Yes.
Okay, and about 200 participants.
Right.
Okay, how many kids were able to ride?
We had 7 stars this year,
uh-huh.
and also like. Andrea's mom, Diane, she rode, and I think her dad rode.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the families, too. So
yeah.
We had a lot of stars and families ride. I really couldn't tell you how many altogether.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
It is one of the things that we do is we allow the stars and their families to be able to ride. So brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whoever they bring,
mm-hmm.
we'll try to get them on a motorcycle. So that's a pretty exciting thing.
And that's a very broad termed word right there, motorcycle.
I saw
any number of things I don't think I've ever seen before. There was this green thing, and I'm not sure exactly what it was. We had the bikes, we had the trikes.
Yes, sidecars. And because we do put the little ones, I think if they're under 10, maybe 12, they have
yeah.
to be in a sidecar. So we try to get people that have sidecars to come and volunteer to be escorts for mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. And then, but adults, I know that Andrea's mom and dad both rode on a two-wheeler.
Yep.
And so that's what we do. And okay. we have helmets for all of them. And
so they rode with one of the bikers. They didn't?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yes, okay. yes. Yeah, they didn't have their own, so they yeah. brought their own. We do have one of the dads is a biker, and so he actually rode his son on the back. So.
Okay.
And right. a cancer survivor himself.
Right. I thought that's who you were talking about. Yes. Tell that story. Share that yes. story.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We have one of the parents has had developed cancer himself, and I think it was a couple years ago that he started coming to the Ride for Kids and was participating, heard the parents talking about some of the side effects. Then his son got sick, and he went, these side effects sound kind of similar to what he heard before, but he thought, no, I'm sure my child doesn't have a brain tumor. But after some testing, determined that they did. So he was glad that he had been at the Ride for Kids to know that the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation was out there. He was able to contact them, get information, mm-hmm. Get that family support
right.
that they offer, which is right. one of the nice things about the foundation, that they do multiple type of activities for families. Mm-hmm. They not only provide the research and some of the cutting-edge stuff for finding cures and treatments so that kids are able to survive instead of just going in there and just taking out the mass and then leaving the child basically unable to do anything else.
Right, right.
They go in there and pinpoint it and are able to, Andrea, I know when we were talking to her mom, and she'll, you know, share some of that with you as well, that some of the stuff that's out there you couldn't do before. So that's kind of a nice thing. But when Ryan's dad, when they had the surgery this summer, so mm-hmm. Ryan was able to ride with his dad this this year, and basically what he has now is a zipper incision up the back of his head. It's
okay.
about all you can see from
wow.
where he had the surgery, but
yeah,
he's doing
very
really
fortunate
well.
With no side effects
yeah.
and
it was not cancerous, so that
That's
was a
right
good
too.
Thing too
yeah.
so
yeah. That is something we should bring up, that when we talk about brain tumors, they're
yes.
not necessarily cancerous.
Correct.
They're not
Correct.
Necessarily malignant, which is
right.
the good news and the bad news.
Yes.
Bad that you have it, but, you know, what a relief.
Right.
And it was so cool to have both dad and son on one bike and two survivors.
Yes.
Of,
very
you know,
exciting.
Yeah. Very good feeling. And I challenge anybody who attends any of the Ride for Kids events to have a dry eye by the time everything's over. It's a very, very moving experience. And I think most of it is because it's so positive, you know, so positive. And I'm impressed by the parents who are there and still working for Ride for Kids after they've lost their child.
Sue and I have done 26 out of the 40 different Ride for Kids that they do each year.
Mm-hmm.
And every ride we go to, there's at least one family that's there in honor of a child they've lost, or a
right.
nephew or a niece, and mm-hmm. and that's the sad truth of it, is that a lot of the kids still do not survive.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're doing what we do, though.
Yeah, at the orientation they were talking about 1960, and 4% of the kids diagnosed with a brain tumor lived 5 years or more. And as of, was it 2010 or 2011?
Right.
Recently,
yes.
it's up to 60%, which
right.
makes you think wonderful things from going from 4% to 60%. But on the other hand, we're still losing
40%.
If you're
right.
part of that 40%, and
yeah, we're still losing.
We still got work
half.
To do.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the exciting part is just exactly what we did for Andrea, that we are now to the point where kids are surviving
mm-hmm.
and being able to go on and do productive things. And we're able to provide scholarships for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty exciting, because when we started this, you know, 20-some years ago, that was not even something that you even thought that you needed to have.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. And I can't remember his name. He had his bike there last year.
Yes, John.
John.
Right, and because of his vision due to the brain tumor, he's never going to be able to actually drive. But he has a pedal bike that is
highly customized.
So we should, souped up.
Yeah.
And it looks a lot like a bike.
He's actually taken it to motorcycle shows and won Best of Show, mm-hmm. and he travels with it. And it's quite amazing.
It certainly is. He didn't have it this year, but he said he's bringing it back next year. So hopefully we'll see and get to see that again. Now, he said he was 31, I think. I believe he mentioned.
I can't remember.
That's very exciting because he's, you know, when you're reaching 30s, that means that something has gone very, very right after something went very, very wrong. So we have another star, Ruthie, who wasn't there this year, but she's also 31, I believe, this year. And
Probably.
Yeah, she is absolutely determined. She's moving. Last I knew, she was still working on her master's. So lots of good things happening with her. And she was 8 years old when she was diagnosed. And they always describe it as having something in your head the size of a baked potato. And, boy, what a struggle that's been. But she's a champ.
We kind of started watching her grow up as when we very first went to a ride and saw her on stage. And she was one of those feisty young ladies that wanted to take the ride managers the microphone and be able to just start talking and take over. And so it's been nice to be able to watch her and see that she could, grow
and
up.
And she has.
Yes.
She has taken that microphone out of the hand and just started walking on the
stage. We missed her this year. We don't hope everything's okay. We don't really know why she wasn't there this year. But
she'll be back next
she'll
year.
She'll be back.
Yeah. Okay. Danny, you mentioned being part of the rides. Tell us about the rides all across the nation, how many there are, and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, there's 40 rides in probably 36 different states, because some of the states do have more than one ride, spread out all across the year. Each ride is unique in its own. We have a beautiful area. Our ride was great out along the Huron River and then back out across territorial this year. Sue and I will be going to Indianapolis, Indiana, in a couple weeks for their ride, where we will, after a nice loop ride out through the country, we will actually go out and do a parade lap around the Indy Motor Speedway.
Oh, wow.
So that's always, I'm supposed to be leading a group of bikes down there. We'll leave here at Saturday morning and just take a leisurely back road country ride down there and do the ride Sunday morning and ride home.
Wow.
And it's Sue's goal, and our goal is to eventually do all 40 rides.
Okay.
So
one year?
No, not in one year.
Okay.
We've done, like I said, we've done 26 out of the 40.
Okay.
We've done it basically everything from Colorado east. I think we've just about, a couple in Florida that we got to do yet.
In Maine. Or New England, I guess it is. New England state.
Right.
But part of the reason that we can't do them all in one year is because there are some weekends when, on a Sunday, there are three rides on the same day.
Okay.
So kind of hard to split yourself in three different directions.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in fact, the biggest issue that we have is we're not sure how we're ever going to get to the all 40, because on the same day as our ride is the one that's in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
They said I couldn't go to that one this year. I don't understand why, but
I think that's better to be in Michigan.
Yeah.
And then the Michigan ride itself is rather unique in some of the rides, in
correct.
The fact that it's dual sport. So if you want to explain that.
The dual sport, it was kind of, Sue and I are new task force leaders, so it was very interesting because we weren't really sure about how the dual sport ride worked. But we got a handle on it and made it happen. And the dual sport portion, basically we give them a road map, and it's as much dirt roads as possible, and they go out on their own. It's not that one isn't police escorted, and we just say have a good time, and we'll see you in a couple hours, and they take off, and most of them come back, and have lunch with us. This year, there three of them actually came back in time for the Celebration of Life, or part of it. The road ride is all police escorted, and we all ride together, so we all get back together. But the dual sport is, I'm actually going to go out and run the route they had this year just because I'm curious.
Okay.
I have a bike where I can do the back roads.
And they're both 50-mile routes, right?
The dual sport actually was a little bit longer than 50 miles from what I could tell by the map.
Okay.
But I want to drive it and see.
Yeah.
It should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one of our volunteers. He created the route for us. Mm-hmm. He works with the conservation club.
So
the dual sport, for those people who aren't real familiar with what dual sport means, but it means that you have a motorcycle that can go on road and off road, so you can go on those dirt roads.
Okay.
You know, when you have one of the big full dresser type motorcycles, mm-hmm. you do not want to take those on dirt roads.
Right.
And so these are the, you know, a little bit smaller bikes with the big, you know, bigger tires mm-hmm. with, you know, little knobbies on them so that they can actually go through the dirt. But they're right. also street legal, so they can make it there. So
okay.
that's kind of a fun thing. So
So
those people were dressed a little bit differently
yes.
and made sure that they were, you know, like they were going to be racing or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
so it was nice. The other thing that also was good is we had a wonderful police escort this year that they did a marvelous job, coordinated well with us, made sure that all intersections were blocked nicely for us and those kind of things. And this year, because we do have the option of not wearing helmets mm-hmm. any longer, the police officers did say, you know, they were not required to wear helmets, but they would appreciate for the safety of the whole ride
mm-hmm.
that we would wear them. And I would think that probably about 98% of the people did wear helmets.
I noticed when I started watching everybody leave, I think I saw maybe five without helmets.
Right.
But I did see one person with no helmet and flip-flops, and I thought, oh, I hope everything goes well.
Yes.
Because that's not a whole lot of protection.
It is not. If you are going to ride on the ride and you're going to be one of the escorts for our stars, we do require you to wear a helmet, and we do require all of our stars and families to wear helmets.
Mm-hmm.
So we want them to be safe. So.
Right. Right. There were a number of communities that did have volunteer police officers there. Do you remember who all was there?
Chelsea, Lathrop Village, Washtenaw County Sheriff. We had State Police. And who am I missing?
Northfield
Township.
And these men and women are all off the clock when they do this. This is all volunteer, so.
Not all of them, but some of them were. A couple of them were actually on vacation
and
came in on their own time, on their vacation time, to assist us in the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to Lieutenant Troy Brevarious. I hope I pronounced this right, Brevarious.
Mm-hmm.
I called him one day, and I had been trying to contact all these different agencies, and I said, I was told he would take over as coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him, and I said, what do you need from me? And he said, nothing. He says, I'll get a hold of everybody.
Wow.
And I'll take care of it.
Wow.
And we had everybody praising at the end of the ride what a great job the police mm-hmm. does. Mm-hmm. So if Troy, if you get to hear this, thanks, bud.
And it's because there are 150 bikes, you don't necessarily make it through all the red lights. And I understand the roads were blocked,
roads,
and people were
yeah.
very respectful, and it was very, very smooth, which
yeah.
is wonderful.
That's one of the advantages of going on these rides, is because mm-hmm. you do get to go through all red lights,
mm-hmm.
all stop signs. You have the right-of-way no matter what, so you are just zipping through. So that's kind of a nice thing, and so that doesn't happen very often. So it's well worth the $35 that you pay for registration
right.
to donate to the charity. Plus, you get that nice ride.
Mm-hmm.
You also get a nice late breakfast and a light lunch. So
yeah. it's
what
all
more
good.
could you ask for $35?
Right. It's all good. All right, we're going to...
Or more.
That's true, too. We'll talk about that part of it and some of the numbers and contact information. Take a little musical break right now, and we'll be right back with more from Impact. I will remind you, this is Lynn, your host of Impact, and we are here on the fourth Thursday of every month from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m., bringing you individuals and groups of people making a positive difference in the community.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Impact. This is Lynn, your host of Impact, and we're here on the fourth Tuesday of the month bringing you great individuals and groups of people making a positive difference in the community. And today we're spending a lot of time talking about Ride for Kids. It was this past Sunday. It was a success. It was a lot of fun. The weather was fantastic. And we have a lot of people and a lot of organizations that make this whole thing possible. Washtenaw Community College is a beautiful setting. I don't know if I can say that over the air since I'm at Henry Ford, but it just works out so well because you're in the country, basically, and it makes the route creation, I would think, a lot simpler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have to go through a lot of city to get out to some nice country back roads, and so it is a pretty good setting.
Yeah. Tell us about the Stars again. We had we talked about John, who's 31, and Ruthie's 31, but there's a lot of younger kids who are involved in this too.
Right there, we have a couple little ones. We have one Andrew who just turned 6 not too long ago. He just finished kindergarten, and when he was first diagnosed at I think it was at 17 months.
Yeah.
Doctors basically didn't think that he would even make it to kindergarten. So his parents are pretty excited that he was able to make it through kindergarten and doing very well. I mean, they still have to watch everything. You know, that's one thing. Once you've been diagnosed with a brain tumor, it is something that you continue to deal with the rest of your life. But, you know, he's, you know, taking it one day at a time and has twin little brothers that were basically keeping mom and dad pretty busy at our event. So that makes it kind of fun. We do have a couple other younger ones, and so basically they're all different ages. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we have fun.
Yeah. Tell us about one of the young. Yeah, he wasn't too big on staying on stage either. But,
no, not at all. We had a four-wheeler that we took families from the parking lot up to the area where we registered them. So I forget what that thing is called.
It's sort of a golf cart.
Golf cart.
Yeah,
type
golf
thing.
Cart.
Yes,
yeah.
That's a good word to describe it. So after, when the ceremony was going on, he got to ride in it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was time for the kids to come up on stage and talk and share and tell us about the fun things that they're doing, he didn't want to give up the riding on the golf cart, so it was kind of hard to pull him aside.
Yeah.
Plus, once you stick a microphone in front of the kids, they have a tendency to not want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll talk any other time except when the microphone's right in front of them, so that does make it a little bit fun.
Right.
But one of the things that we do with our event is we call it a celebration of life. So when our ride manager is talking to the kids, it's basically about anything except their brain tumors and their issues that they're having. It's more of, you know, what are you doing in school? You know, what kind of fun are you having? What's your favorite games that you like to play? You know, do you have boyfriends, girlfriends? You know, music? We try to make it lively and a little bit more fun because they certainly have enough time to worry and deal with the issues of their tumors and all those kind of things. So we try to make this a fun event, and they can just kick back and actually be kids and have fun. So,
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a date for the 2013 ride?
We do.
Okay.
It is August 25th, 2013. It's on a Sunday. It's the fourth Sunday of August, and so...
Okay.
That's when we'll be there. Registration will start at 8, and it will end at 10:15. So we really like people to be there by 10. I know we had some people that were rolling in at the last minute and then running up to the table and trying to get registered and get back on their bikes. So it's really nice if we have everybody there by 10.
Those registration people were very effective.
They were wonderful. Yeah. We had some great day of event volunteers, and we can always use those. So you can, anybody that's interested in, you know, spending some time and volunteering, we do require a training session so that you'll know how to do all of those fun jobs that we have. So we do that on Thursday night before that, and then we have another training session on Saturday if you can't make it on Thursday.
And lots of information is available on the internet if you'd like to take a look and see what it's all about at a national level, also as a Michigan level. So
yes.
If you want to give us that contact information?
Yes. We have a website. It's rideforkids.org, and it will tell you all the information about the national event. There's a spot where you can click on events, and then you can pick the Michigan Ride, and it will tell you everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Michigan Ride for Kids are also on Facebook, so you can like us on Facebook. Dan always goes, oh, Facebook. But people do like that social media, and it's
right,
a nice thing, and
right,
you can see pictures, and we will be posting pictures shortly of all of the day of the event from this year, so you can see all that kind of stuff. So you can go out there on,
right,
and find us on Facebook. Also, if you want to call for more information, it's 800-253-6530. So you can do that.
Terrific. Any parting thoughts?
Just on the Ride for Kids website, there's a great video that you can watch that does a wonderful job explaining what the ride is about, why we do it. And there's also a link to the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. And they also, if on About Us on their website, there's a video. I like watching short videos. But on the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, there's a little girl that we go see every year in Tennessee on that video, and she's one of our great stars that we just kind of have befriended over, you know, and all our kids are special, though.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being part of Impact, and
thank you for having us.
Thank you, and I think we have some music that's going to take us out in style from this segment. And we'll be right back after this music. And welcome back to Impact. And this is Lynn, your host of Impact. We're here on the fourth Thursday of the month from 1 till 2, bringing you individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. One last note, good cause kind of thing, is the No Beast Feast, and that's coming up Friday, September 14th from 6 until 10, and that's at Park Place. It's the third annual. This is a benefit for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And great restaurants, great food coming in. Bangkok 96, Henry Ford Culinary Group, and the In Season Cafe from Royal Oak will all be providing dinner. And I have numbers and lots of great information for you about this No Beast Feast. Just take a look at the Dearborn Animal Shelter site, and that's dearbornanimals.org, and you can call the number, the main number, and get all the information you need, and that's 313-943-2697. And again, that's the No Beast Feast. It's an evening of vegetarian dining, beer and wine bar, and a silent auction. It's all there. And again, that runs 6 till 10 p.m. on Friday, September 14th at Park Place, which is the corner of Park and Outer Drive. So until next month, I thank you for listening. And Mike Holloway, thank you so much for being our engineer today. And stay tuned for the final Divine Inspiration. Oh, she's crying and everything. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves at 89.3 on the FM dial. Got a couple important messages, a little bit of music, and we'll flip over to Divine Inspiration. Thank you again for listening. This has been Impact.
Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through.
Do your part by going to boostup.org and giving a student the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I want to be a rock star.
I want to be a fireman.
I want to be a baseball player.
I'll be a chef.
Cause it's like the coolest job ever.
You get to ride around in a giant bus. Cause chefs get to cook yummy cheeseburgers, pizza, and chocolate, everything.
I would be the pitcher because they get to do something all the time.
They get ride on those trucks and never have to stop for red lights or nothing.
And you get to play really loud.
If your child is sick, over and over again, it could be PI, a defect in the immune system that affects millions. Early detection can give children a chance to dream. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO-4-PI.
My plan is to be the youngest pitcher to ever throw a no-hitter.
All right, a cookbook that's just for kids.
I know I'm going to be famous because my mom